Hey, everybody, I'm Jane.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to the Medium Curious podcast, the show that's asking the question, what's reality? Is it all a dream?
Ooh. That's perfect for today's episode.
Yeah, I thought it might work out.
Yeah, our 20th episode. This is the last episode in our second season before we take a little summer break. So today we thought we'd talk about dreams that we have for this little podcast, dreams that float around in our head while we're sleeping, dreams that bring us sugar plum fairies, and what other things do we dream about, Jane?
Well, I love that. I love that the word applies to both the, you know, the state, as in I'm dreaming at night or whenever you're sleeping, versus the dreams about your, like, what you want with a life. So
yeah,
we're going to just play with the concepts and talk about how spirit plays in with all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel really like we were guided today to talk about dreams because we met yesterday to talk about this episode. And our previous episode had some hiccups where my track cut out completely. I disappeared. So we couldn't use that.
It was terrible. I was editing. I was like, where'd Sarah go?
Yeah. Just whoosh, gone. And I was in my car and there was this NPR interview with a guy who just wrote a book about dreams. He's a neuroscientist and was doing some research on what we do while we're dreaming. And I was like, oh, that's what we need to talk about, because my dream life, I feel like, is one of my avenues into my intuition. Mm-hmm. And I know that not everybody remembers their dreams, but a lot of people have rich dreams, and it can be a great source of intuition, of information.
Yeah.
A lot of processing happens in dreams.
Right. It can be kind of like its own workshop. Like you can take problems. Like I'll just very quickly share a story of doing this recently where we kind of alluded to it a few times on this podcast, where I was in this huge life decision that was kind of kicking my ass recently. And I was partnering it with my husband who, let's just say, we weren't totally on the same page about this decision. But at a certain point I said, babe, you've got to go ask your dreams. You've got to ask your, I think I called it his dream container, like, you know, the guiding force of his dreams. And he came out of his dream state with a really clear answer, which—
That's amazing.
It's really amazing because life doesn't always give you a clear answer, especially with big shit that involves a lot of money. So yeah, it was a little bit heartbreaking for me, but I was like, cool, done. That's it. That's the message. That's the answer. We move on, because it was, you know, a higher source, I guess, is how I perceived it.
There definitely is, for me, I think, a spiritual component to dreaming. Mm. I don't know if obviously not everybody feels that way, but people who kind of run in our circles, I think, would certainly consider it as such. You know, I think I do a lot of processing in dreams. So yesterday we were talking about what we were going to talk about today. And you said, put it in your dream container. See if there's a little something in there for me. So I don't really remember much of what I dreamt last night, but I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning and I'd asked before I'd fallen asleep, okay, give me something for Jane. Give me something that I can share with Jane. And I woke up at 4 a.m. with a headache and I got up to take something. And as I was getting up, I was like, oh, I remember what this is. And I remembered to like stick it in my little memory bank. And what it was, was an emoji hand with a thumbs up and a dog sitting on top of the thumb. Yes.
That is so random.
isn't that so random? But I was like, oh, well, that's a thumbs up for Jane with a little dog sitting on the top of the thumbs up. Because just yesterday, you had been talking about really embracing animal communication because you were saying how much you enjoyed it and how easy it was for you and how it just feels like it's a lot cleaner than talking
to humans.
And you're like, yeah, I just really enjoy it. I think it's great. And so that was like a little emoji thumbs up with a little dog perched on top.
That's hilarious.
I was like, oh, isn't that funny?
Well, it's so funny because I was doing a reading this morning and I was saying, luckily this person had listened to the podcast and I was like, you know, I speak in emojis. Like the spirit really communicates to me with emojis.
That's wild.
That's crazy that you're telling me that the emojis came through last night.
I had a dream for you with an emoji thumbs up. And a dog.
Yes. And even though my dog spent my first session of the day throwing up in here, we're going to still give the dog a thumbs up. Oh my God. I love, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I'm so excited for that validation.
Yeah, super cool. So, I mean, that's one of the beauties of paying attention to your dreams and getting information for other people. Like, so sometimes my daughter and I will say, let's find a place to meet in our dreams tonight.
Oh, wow.
And it actually, we never have carried through with it, but it's just like a really sweet thing to do before she falls asleep.
Well, maybe you don't remember it. Yeah.
It could be like on the London Bridge or
I love that.
By the Eiffel Tower or on the beach at grandma's house. So it's really sweet. I think, you know, setting those intentions before you fall asleep. And then the other thing about dreams is there's been quite a few people that I've talked to, especially since this podcast, that have told me they've had visitations in their dreams from people who've crossed over.
Yeah.
And I have had several visitations too.
Oh, cool. Tell us about yours.
Okay. So I think we talked about him in maybe the first episode. He is my college boyfriend, and you brought him through. So I've had dreams about him where it's so real, where I just know that I'm talking to him.
Yeah.
And my sister, who also knew him, she had a dream. It was a couple years ago now, where she said, I had this dream about him, and it was so real. And he said to me, I see you, and I know that you have a son that has the same name as me.
And she does.
And she does.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So when she told me that, I was like, oh, that makes complete sense. It just made sense. Like it didn't feel like a random dream because I had just had a dream about him myself that was so real. But it even goes a couple steps further where I've had to set some boundaries with him in the dream.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when I knew him really well, obviously he was my boyfriend, so we were physically intimate.
Yeah.
And when I had a most recent dream about him, that's where it was going. That's where the dream was going. And I wasn't interested in the dream. I was like, I want to put up some boundaries here. Yeah. So when I woke up in the morning, I was like, okay, I'm going to set the intention. It's like, okay, I love it when you come and visit me in my dreams. However, here's the boundary. There's no physical intimacy in this dream, even though, you know, there's plenty of people who have dreams and they enjoy these wonderful dreams. And I didn't want that in the dream for myself.
You just weren't interested.
I just wasn't interested. Dream or not, real or not.
Right. And that's the question.
So I I think it was the next night or the night after that, he came again in the dream, but he was sitting right next to me. And we were looking, I don't know if it was at a beach or looking at a fire. I can't remember exactly. That part is a little bit hazy. But my beagle, who had crossed over, was sitting in between us.
Oh, there's another dog thumbs up.
I know. And I think we were kind of in the dream talking about, and he didn't know this dog. We were talking about how naughty this dog was. Because when I had her in real life and in living life, she was really naughty. She was a really naughty beagle.
Buddy.
So, yeah. But he had respected my boundaries in the dream that I had about him since.
That is amazing. That is amazing. It reminds me of for a while I studied lucid dreaming.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, not something I ever mastered, but a lot of people have. And my son can lucid dream.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. Are you able to do that? Were you able to kind of take control? And
you know, I at one point in my life, I was great at lucid dreaming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was really fun. It was always, too, when I was kind of in the midst of being in a bad situation, and I would think to myself in the dream, oh, you don't have to be here. And I would pick my feet up and swim away in the air.
Oh, my gosh. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
That's how my dreams were lucid, because I could just
we're not doing this.
I don't have to stick around for this.
Yeah.
I can just look at this. Look what I can do. And just pick up my feet and just do the breaststroke through the air and leave.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool. That's so like perfectly surreal.
Perfectly, right?
Yeah. Oh, so you swam away. Perfect.
Yeah. What does your son do in his dreams?
I was just trying to remember, but I think it's similar where he's like in a situation he doesn't want to be in. Then he like goes, and he closes the door, or he turns around, or he just knows that he's in a dream, and he'll go, oh, I'm dreaming. And then it's almost like there's another layer to it. And he's like, am I dreaming? Yes, I'm dreaming. And he's able to kind of like, it's essentially just, you know, drive, like take control of the dream.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a fun segue into this idea that some people believe that this whole life is essentially a dream. And that when we go to the other side, we're stepping across the threshold where we're like, oh, weird.
This is reality. And my life was just a dream.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And of course, there's a beautiful song, and there's all these kind of, you saw a meme this morning about it. Like,
right. I think probably a lot of our listeners are familiar with Byron Katie. And I was just scrolling through Instagram, and one of her posts said, life is a dream. And then I can't remember.
And if you don't love it, I've got 4 questions for you.
Right. Do the Byron Katie work on it.
Yeah.
If you're not liking your
inquire as to what your reality is looking like. Yeah, this person I met today, one of the people I worked with today, had all of her team kept talking about like how exquisite she is at life. Like it was crazy. It was like so special. I felt like I was in the presence of a giant, because I was like, how is it that every person coming in here wants to talk about how good you are at this? And what they were describing is like this balance between taking it seriously and going like, oh, this is important, versus just not taking it, you know, just not taking it on, like imagining that it's a dream and you can change course and like, yes, this isn't fun, but it's going to end soon or whatever. Like I think that's so fascinating, is this idea that we can control our destiny a little bit or a lot, depending on how many abundance and, you know, manifestors you follow on Instagram.
Yeah, so anyway, totally.
I guess I think it's a really fun idea to play with, of like how much peace you can get by pulling back and having a perspective of like, maybe I don't have to take this all on so seriously and freak out, and maybe life is more something we can play with.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of goes along now that this is our 20th episode of Medium Curious.
Woo.
Our whole take. I mean, we've done 20 episodes now, and I think a lot of what I have learned doing this is that we still don't know everything.
Or anything.
And I don't know that we ever will know everything, yet I'm having so much fun playing and listening to how everybody else plays with their perspective and is inspired and is curious and discovers things about themselves. And when they discover things about themselves, they're discovering things about everyone else, humanity as a whole.
Mm, right. Yeah. Like we are the little macro and then the micro and then that game of like what we discover about our own reality reflects out and what we're seeing in the whole. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And that we're just so interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another thing that I've just loved so much about this podcast is seeing how it's like a little, you know, when you set the little dominoes up and they kind of knock each other over and it's just like this beautiful, sometimes it creates these beautiful pictures. Sometimes yeah. It, you know, it's just like this little trail of things. And I feel like the people that I've met, the connections I've made as listeners have gotten in touch with us and through guests, it's just been that kind of beauty, that kind of connection, that kind of magic, that curious magic.
Oh, that's really beautiful. So there's like it's like this ripple kind of like the flapping of the wings that affects the hurricane on the other side of the world, you know? The butterfly effect, the monarch effect. I second that. And I have loved it. And I don't want it to sound like a goodbye. It's not. We're coming back in a couple weeks. But just in a look back, it has been incredible. I guess that is a lot of it. Like you're saying, when listeners get in touch and they say this impacted them in any way, that like blows my mind. Because this is just such a fun passion project for us. And this is like what we want to be doing with our time. And then if it's helpful to anyone else, it's just like, what? So exciting, you know?
It like, is so exciting.
Like, the best. So, and then just kind of going back to your notion about the visitations, just to kind of keep it a little bit on topic. I was thinking about in the backlog of what we've been doing here, but, you know, Jamie, just a couple episodes ago, had those really powerful dreams about Breeze, and that's how they reconnected, was through dreams. And so, you know, just to kind of round back to that, using it as a vehicle to chat to spirit. And in a way, it's kind of a good first step too. Like if you can do what we talked about in the beginning, like ask your dream container, like, can I chat to my dad? Or can I, you know, can you bring me? Or I think that is a lot of what I love about dream work. It's like you're talking to the everything through this particular portal, which is way more surreal and you can jump and swim away. It's like a place that's more malleable than this dimension. And so then you get to learn how to be more malleable in this other dimension and bring back the wisdom and then use it in this sort of rigidy 3D. It just feels a little rigid here. Am I wrong about that?
No. It's a little stiff. It's a little stiff, Jane.
I have not ever jumped up and swum away from a situation.
Yeah, I've thought about that. I've woken up and been like, oh, I could do this. And then it's like, nope, I cannot just pick my feet up and fly away. I cannot. But I think to your point about visitations, I know when someone's in fresh grief. Mm. I've actually heard of a lot of people having visitations because when you're in fresh grief, even if you can, if you want to get signs and you want to get messages, that grief is just too heavy. And that grief is just, it's like a heavy blanket.
Yeah.
And getting messages while you're conscious, while you're awake, just is not going to happen because you're thinking about the loss. But there's something about being asleep and and just turning off your brain and then being in that sleep state. I have a friend who lives here who lost her little boy, I think probably about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he pops in all the time. Whenever, like, I'll get snags from him all the time. And it's usually when I'm meditating in the morning, I'm like, okay, cutie, I will give your mom a message. Like, what do you want? What do you want me to tell her? And I'll go through like all a list of things and then I'll text it to her and she'll be like, yes, I needed to hear from him. Yes. But I think it was maybe about a year ago, she texted and she said, I had a dream. He was in it. He was putting his hand on my face and I could feel it. And it felt so real. And it just made me feel like he is right there with me. And of course, like, I have all this evidence that I've been giving her where I know that he's right there with her. He is with her all the time. But for her to experience him in the dream state with actual feeling the touch of his hand on her face, that I think is just so comforting.
Yeah. Yeah. What a powerful reassurance. And maybe because she's felt that in the sleep state, maybe she could actually experience it in this state.
Yeah.
You know, with lucid dreaming, one of the training wheels is to, as you walk in and out of rooms, to touch the plate, where the lights, I don't know what the light plate, is that what it's called? the plate where the light switches. The idea being that if you're awake enough to remember to touch that light switch every time you come in and out of the room, you can bring that across. You can have that awakeness in your sleep state. So each thing does impact the other. And that is how you train to be a lucid dreamer, is by training to be lucid in this state.
There's so many things I need to remember to do. I'm going to put that on the list because that's really
freaking
cool.
Hard. That's what I want to say. Like, I even went to I am sure there's maybe some listeners out there who subscribe to Ekinkar. It's like a religion, more or less. It's all about dreaming.
Oh, and that's cool.
It is really cool. And I went to like a couple of their like sessions or classes or something back in college, because I was so fascinated by the dream state. And then interestingly, I don't have a relationship with my dreams right now. Back when you're like, let's do a thing about dreams, I was like, I can't, don't, no dreams. I got no dreams.
Well, I kind of feel like you get enough intuitive information, Jane, during your waking state. So maybe you don't need to.
Maybe I just need to sleep.
Yeah, maybe that rest is really needed.
Maybe. But having heard from, I have a friend who does this really profound work with Jungian psychology. She's in a path like that. And the dreams are like these powerful jewels that she and her therapist work with. Like, it's like a whole, I'm almost seeing it almost like a shadow box. Like, it's this whole world unto itself. Then you can pluck out all of this. And I actually used to have a Jungian therapist too, and we would talk about them too. But I guess even just as we're talking right now, it just makes it so rich, you know, like it's so yummy and rich and a playground of, it's like a whole place that we can consciously go and play around and find answers. And so, yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is a coincidence, and I know how silly that sounds saying that, like, on what? This podcast.
No. Who are you?
But when my intuition really came online, which was shortly after the very first mediumship class that you taught to me that I took, it was very shortly after that I had my last nightmare. And ever since then, I haven't had any nightmares. But I remember this one nightmare so clearly. It was, I used to have this dream, and it was a reoccurring nightmare where I'd be holding the door shut and like bad guys would be trying to break in. And I'd be like, you know, keep, keep like throwing, putting dressers, like taping, hammering, and they'd still be breaking in. And I'd run over the windows and I'd close the windows and they'd be trying to get in. And finally, like this was a couple days after that class that you taught, where I had brought in my first spirits. They were trying to break in. And I think I must have gotten lucid because I said, okay, come in. I'm ready for you.
Oh my God.
And I took, I'm getting chills. There, it was like a big crow. It was like a man that looked like a crow. Or like it was a crazy, it wasn't a human. It was like a crazy looking, I don't know if it was a monster. I don't know what it was. And I took something and I stabbed it through the heart. I was like, you are not coming after me ever again. And I went like this in my dream and it just dissolved. It just completely like poof, dissolved. I know. And it was gone. And I have not had that dream ever again. And the crazy thing about that was that my mom had a similar dream to that, that she told me that happened right around the same time.
No.
And I'm not sure exactly what happened to her in the dream, but she also gets a lot of intuitive information in her dreams as well.
Yeah.
But I just thought that her having a dream at the same time that was kind of similar to that.
Oh my goodness.
I think it was like the raven crow symbology in that was similar in her dream, but it was just a confirmation of my dream.
Wow. And so wild to think about. You just said that you and Emmy do that where you're like, meet you in a dream.
Yeah.
So that's you and your mom and you and your daughter. So that's cool. Wow. I mean, yeah, it is just, good grief. That's cool. I mean, how powerful, like you fought the demon and won.
I did.
You're just like, no, thanks. We're not doing this anymore, dude.
Yeah.
Back up. And you did it with your ex-boyfriend. You're like, no, we're not going to do it. Sorry, dude.
Yeah. Setting you know, boundaries. Like, yeah.
Taking control of the situation. And how lucky, because I love this about you. Because in this life, sometimes it doesn't feel like that we get to take control of the situation, you know?
Yeah.
So like how amazing that you're like, you've got that clarity. That's beautiful.
Yeah. In my dream life.
You're killing
it. Got it down.
Yeah. No, I would say it's reflected in this life. You're killing it in this life. Like you managed to go on a camping trip with all those children and all that laundry.
Yeah.
I mean, 30, I've seen you.
40 people. Yeah. And norovirus hit.
This is the life that Sarah leads. Like you exhibit superhero qualities like in every single day of your life, like leaping over the PTA and jumping to pick up 45 children. I don't know, you're incredible to me. Just so you know.
Well, thank you. But yes, if I could swim to school, pick up through the air, that'd be even cooler. Maybe someday.
Let's do it. Yeah, it's coming. On that note, do you remember the movie What Dreams May Come?
Yes. Yeah. Is that with Robin Williams?
Yeah. And it's about the other side, man.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which is kind of heartbreaking when you think about his story, his trajectory too. But he, you know, that it's sort of like, I kind of wanted to watch it last night and I wasn't able to, but it's like we create, or it's my remember, and you know, y'all fix me, listeners, but my remembrance of it was that it's like, whatever he wanted was happening. It was like instant manifestation a little bit. Like he was really into like Monet paintings. And so then like he gets to the other side and he's like in a Monet or he's like in an impressionist painting. He's sliding around in the paint. It was all just like the coolest. Like I was like dying. I thought it was so cool. And then, you know, what we need for our journey, it just appears. And some would argue that is what happens here. Like, the characters that we need for our journey, the people that are going to appear. And like, I've been joking with you that there's a particular person in my life who's been playing an amazing villain. Like she's so good at being a villain and she's not to other people. She's a hero. Right.
Yeah.
So like we all play these and I've been a villain, I'm sure too. Right. So like all of these like hardcore hardship,
all situations. These roles.
Yeah. We're all just playing these roles. We're just playing a role. And I'm like the mom and this over here and the, you know, like all this all this material that we get to work with, and it's being presented to us and we're getting to engage with it. And I'd rather roll around in a Monet painting sometimes. But anyway, it's kind of like that. Yeah.
It's so lush just to think about the richness of all of it. And I just feel so much gratitude for getting to experience my dream state and my waking state. It just, you know, so much gratitude. And to be sharing this space with you, Miss Jane.
Oh, my friend. So back to you. And my massive admiration for your superhero antics and your warm heart. And sometimes I'm like, I'm pretty sure Sarah's a perfect human.
Good Lord, no.
Well, I'm sure you'll straighten me out.
You could ask my daughter when I was brushing her hair this morning.
I'll ask her.
Definitely. Yeah. She's like, how could you do that to me right now?
Who are you, you bad human? Well, you know, I think this is probably a good place to stop and just share a few more notes before we close our second season, Miss Sarah, about friends. We're going to go away for 3 or 4 weeks, not known. Y'all should definitely subscribe because that way when we come back, you'll know about it. So that's right. Really important now.
I mean, the only way you'll know when we come back, unless you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, is if you follow us. So do it all. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe.
So then download the episodes.
Yes.
Because that's a thing.
It is a thing.
Anything else before we go and close our super fun second season?
Well, we're going to be doing a reading giveaway at the beginning of our third season. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. And some other sort of fun, new, and exciting things are going to be happening in season 3. So we're just going to take the summer off.
We already have a killer lineup of guests that we are starting to book. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think 6 out of 10 are already booked in. Like it's nuts.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting to meet all these amazing intuitive people. It's really thrilling.
Yep. So stay close, stay tuned, have an amazing summer, get a nice suntan. We'll see you in August, right?
Yeah.
Ish.
That's the plan. We're just rolling with it.
But last time we made it 3 weeks instead of 4. So something like that, friends. But we love you all. We're just enjoying our time with you. And we're so grateful for your listenership and your friendship and your open hearts and your ability to finally start to kind of look at how badass intuitives you all really are. And that's what we're here to help you notice about yourselves. So good job.
That's true.
Go take it to your dream world.
Yes. Go ask some questions. Set some intentions before night-nights.
Night-nights.
All right. Thank you, dear friend. Jane.
Love everyone else. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Medium Curious is made possible
by Jane Morgan Editing.
Sarah Rathke made the amazing music.
And Gigi Hawkins, podcast consultant.
Mix by podcast engineers. Our logo was created by Eric Allen.
Kyle Hansen, McKee Photography.
And the dogs under the desk in Hawaii are Kalea and Domino.
And Trixie in California.